part of the conversation. Send us a WhatsApp message on +27 73 470 3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Indeed, we are from broadcast to baptism. What a beautiful song list to take over the song request session that we have had there. You can go to, we are in fact, quarter four. Unyago pelile. The year has ended. Unyago pelile. We are on quarter four. And we are on lesson two. You can go to ssnet.org. ssnet.org in order for you to, if you want to follow us, so that we can, you know, we can do this lesson study and then we can learn. ssnet.org. We are on quarter four. Unyaga upelile. Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when he's coming back. So we are joined on the line. Today I'm honored. I'm in the next hour I'll be speaking to two brothers, right? So I'm honored. I'm so happy. So we are joined on the line to take us through our lesson study by Pastor Amos Maforo. Someone, Mfundisi, how are you? I'm good, Pastor. Why do you seem like you are calmer than the other one?
Brothers are always different.
I wanted you to laugh, Vela, so the listeners can hear that. You laugh similar. You laugh semi, you know, as my daughter would say. But thank you so much, you know, for joining us to come and speak to us about our lesson study. Before we start, Pastor, I'm going to ask that, can you please pray for us?
Okay, let us pray. Our Father, what in heaven, we invite your presence as we are going to share your word and study your word. Oh, I would pray the presence of the Holy Spirit to interpret and explain to us the mysteries of God. This is our humble prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen and amen. God's mission to us, part two. Last week we dealt with part one, and then today we are on part two, God's mission to us. My pastor, you may take us through the Sabbath lesson, the Sunday lesson. There's a word there that I saw. I'm like, hey, this one, I will not entertain it today, but it's okay, Mfundiswami. You can take us through the lesson. Let's see how it goes.
Good morning, listeners. Today we're on lesson two, God's mission to us, part two. Remember what we discussed last week when we're talking about God's mission? All we can say is this mission is not ours per se, it is God's mission. He is the one who started this mission. We are just but co-laborers with God. In everything we do, we just have to fall in line with what God desires. The way he looks at the people, the fallen race, the way he looks at us, the missionaries who have been sent. So everything, it's about God, and it's all about God through and through. The theme of God's mission runs throughout scripture, from Genesis through to Revelation. We're always seeing God looking at mankind, mankind fleeing from God. As we spoke last week when we discussed, God is asking, Adam, where are you? Adam, where are you? Is the question all the time. God has always been looking for us and running after us. I love the words of David Marshall when he says, even if you flee away from God for 1,000 miles, all you have to do is just turn back and hug God, because he would have followed you all the way. Today, our memory text, we are on Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. Our text goes like, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You can hear the mission now. He is sending us to make disciples, to go to all the nations and make disciples of everyone. Everyone is to be part and parcel of this mission. Actually, God is looking at all fallen mankind to come back to God. We have fled away from God. Everything we do is contrary to what God had created us to be. So God is still looking for us. all we have to do is to respond. If you look at Isaiah 59, verse 2, it's all talking about us separating from God. It says, your iniquities have separated you from God. So you'll discover that all the time, mankind is the one who's fleeing, or mankind is the one who's running away from God because of our actions and our iniquity. So God all he wants is, come, let us reason together.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So today, this week, all we're going to be discussing is how God has been coming up with plans to find us that we are part and parcel of that mission. So all you have to understand is you and I are part and parcel of that mission. Yes. Yes.
No, you may continue, Fundisa.
All right. There's this aspect of a triune God, the origin of the mission. You will discover that in Genesis, God says, let us make man in our own image. Genesis 1, verse 26. Let us. There is a plural sense there. Mm-hmm. Even at the beginning of Genesis, it says the earth was null and void, and darkness filled the earth. But the Spirit of the Lord was hovering. We're seeing the plurality of the Godhead there. A single God and one God in a triune sense. Now, when it comes to mission, you will discover that God has always been working, the Trinity has always been working, the God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even if you go to John 3:16, it says, now, for God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. Now, when God sends his Son, the Son actually responded, actually admitted. If you go to Revelation, if you read chapter 13, verse 8, Tazwell tells us that this lamb was slain at the foundation of the world. So the whole idea of Trinity, we see it in mission. God never works by himself when it comes to mission. At times with this emphasis on small groups. You remember I used to talk about small groups, working in small groups.
Mm-hmm.
The first small group that we see is the small group of the Godhead. Okay? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. When Christ left, remember what he says? He says, it is expedient that I go. That we send the what? The Holy Spirit.
Mm.
When the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit can be omnipresent. He can be everywhere that he attends to all our needs. So number one, the point is the mission we are talking about originated with the triune God. He is the one who originated with this mission. God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all of them were in agreement. Why do we have to emphasize this? Because at times, you know, there is this thought or this kind of thinking that only Jesus loves us.
Yes.
He is the one who came and died for us. God the Father is an angry God. You know, he's just there.
Holy Spirit is nowhere to be found.
No, Holy Spirit is nowhere to be found. If ever the Spirit is there, it's just a force to be used. You know, you will send it, take it, you know, that kind of reasoning. But now the Spirit is God. He loves us, and he is directly involved in this mission.
Mm-hmm.
God the Father also is also interested. Actually, John 3:16, he said, God so loved the world that he sent. So now, we have made it clear that the Son is part and parcel of the mission, the Father is part and parcel of the mission, and the Spirit is also part and parcel of the mission. So, everything that Christ did was either for or from his heavenly Father. Nothing that Christ did was not God from God the Father. Everything he did was from God the Father. Secondly, God planned his outreach to humanity. It's not a haphazard plan or an afterthought. No, it was actually planned, you know, before humanity sinned or fell into sin. If you read Revelation 13:8, it says, the lamb was slain at the foundation, at the foundation of the earth, of the world. So now, before the earth, when the earth was being created, the plan had already been set.
Mm-hmm.
Just in case Zah falls into sin, just in case Zah does not come through, we will make a plan to redeem her.
Mm-hmm.
Is that one clear?
Mm.
All right. Then you will find that, you know, there's this picture also whereby we think God the Father is the one who created everything else. The Son was just born. No, it's not like that. Actually, God the Son is the one who was behind creation. As we see in John chapter 1, it says, now in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. What? Everything that was created by the Word. Then you go to verse 14, of the same chapter. It says, now the Word was made what? Flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And it dwelt amongst us. So what manner of love that we see now? The Word coming to us, the Word coming, becoming flesh to redeem you and I. The other point we get there in John chapter 20, verse 21 and 22, we also find that the Spirit is there in mission. God is portrayed in his Godhead in the three persons. Actually, Sister White, she puts it this way. She says there are three co-eternal persons in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there is no force there. These are beings with feelings who are in control, who are governing the affairs of this world.
Mm.
So you'll find that we find the Trinity in creation.
Mm-hmm.
We find it in baptism. We also find it in the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you go back on the Transfiguration there, we actually find the Trinity expressed there. It's there clear. You know, when God says, no, go and baptize them in the name. You see now, there are not names there. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Mm.
The name is one, but of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So the triune God is clear there. That's the origin. Those are the originators of the mission. So friends, this mission is not a child's play. We've been called to go and be witnesses. You remember when he left, he said, ye shall be my witnesses. Zach, if you have been in a court of law, you know what a witness does.
Yes.
A witness, yes. A good witness, actually, somebody who has seen what has happened. Somebody with an experience, you go about explaining and expressing what you have seen and what has been done to you. So this is what we are called to do. The second point we want to look at is making disciples.
Wait.
That's the focus of the mission.
Yes, sorry, Mfundi, is to come in there. I've been holding myself. You know, every time I speak to any pastor and the issue of the Trinity comes into play, I always try to hold my questions because I struggle. It's a known fact, and I say it, you know, out loud. I struggle, but I'm not there today for this one. Seeing here, it says that I like how the lesson is also clarifying how the word Trinity is not found in the Bible, which is quite nice because people always argue about that. But then just before that, so the lesson there, and I saw that the scriptures where you're quoting from there, it says the Son created the world. Right, John 1 verses 3, and the fullness of the time, Galatians, God demonstrated his love by sending his Son there. The Son came, died on the cross. Where's the Holy Spirit here? Because we can see that the Son created what? The world. And then we can also see that God demonstrated his love by sending the Son here. So we can see that sequence there, that working together. I want to call it teamwork because, we'll get into trouble. We can see it together there. But what did the Holy Spirit do here?
Okay, team spirit. Yes. Actually, look. When you look at Genesis, the first one we spoke about, Genesis chapter 1, when it describes how the world was like, the first thing that's spoken about is that the Spirit of God was hovering, you know, was moving over the earth. We see the Spirit there, isn't it?
Yeah.
You see, the Spirit throughout the Old Testament, it's there. You go to Genesis chapter 6, when God wanted to deal with earth when he gave them 120 years. He says, my spirit shall not always strive with me, shall not contend with man.
Mm-hmm.
Before. So what was withdrawn was the spirit of God.
Okay.
Now, when we come to the New Testament, remember when we talk of Mary, when she was pregnant.
Yes.
The Bible is very clear, Matthew chapter 1, that Mary was pregnant of the Spirit. Okay? We're seeing the Spirit actively in the, being involved there. Then when you come also to the baptism, like I said, mm-hmm. when Jesus is in the water, he comes out, it says the Spirit came in the form of a what? Of a dove.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus goes to heaven, remember he says, do not leave Jerusalem until
yes.
the Spirit of truth is what?
Mm.
Yes, come. So now, like you said, the good term that we should use is teamwork.
Mm.
All right? There is teamwork. They have different roles. You know, it's like, you know, the concept we're saying, you and your spouse, you are one, like
yeah.
father and mother.
Before, yes.
You are one flesh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you are one flesh, but you've got different roles.
Mm.
You know? You are equal. Do we agree there? Men and a woman are equal but with different roles. That's the same thing with a Trinity, in the Trinity rather.
Mm-hmm.
These all you have different roles.
Mm.
If you go to the book Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14, it says now, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who brought the eternal spirit, offered himself without spot to God,
uh-huh.
purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?
Mm.
Okay. I don't know whether I'm answering you there, Zah. So it's all about different roles. We cannot say now, if you ever heard this concept where people say, no, the God, the Son, we don't find him in the Old Testament. He's not there. There's always this God the Father, the angry God that's there. And people like say, he just came in the New Testament. It's all about timing and different roles. Remember what Galatians 4:4 says?
Mm.
It says, in the fullness of time, when the time had come, Christ was what? Was born.
Mm.
And he came for a mission. And actually, the birth of Christ, remember, it was prophesied in Genesis.
Mm.
Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. It talks about the seed that shall be born. So the plan has always been there with what we got from Revelation 13:8, where it says, no, at the foundation of the world, a thousand days to God, 1,000 years is just like a day.
Yes.
So we need to understand. Yes, but thank you for raising that.
Yeah.
I hope it's becoming clear.
Yeah, yeah. It's clear, Mfundi Swami. Every time it's explained, and I slowly but surely I'm getting it, Mfundi Swami. Let's go to disciples because there's a comment. In fact, because I don't read, we are Friday as well. Wait, Mfundis, before we go to Monday. So here it says that, in fact, it's the last line. We learn from that, from this, that the mission is not ours. It belongs to the triune God. As such, it will not fail. You know, and every time, you know, I hear the word mission and stuff, I'm reminded of the Great Commission, go the, and make disciples, da, da, da. I'm like, okay, but if now we're going to have this phrase here, it's not my mission. So yes, I get it, it won't fail, but why are we now in it? Why are we now, supposed to learn or take that God is actually, he needed us to fulfill the mission, or he doesn't need us because it's his mission.
All right. Interesting. You know what? You are right. The reason why this phrase has been written, the most important thing, you know why we're scared to go and evangelize?
Mm-hmm.
That you don't go to evangelize because you're afraid that you would fail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. This point is coming to explain to us that, no, you don't need to be afraid. This mission is not yours.
Ah,
it's God's.
Okay.
Remember, God has never failed.
Yes.
He will not fail. He's not going to start now. If he started this mission, he's going to see to it that it's fulfilled.
Ah.
Remember? As we are going to see when we go to Monday, he talks about the power, that all power is given unto me. You see, if he is the one, the all-powerful God, it's not going to fail. So what we need to actually understand is that, have you ever heard of these people move around, people saying, I've got a ministry?
Mm-hmm.
Saying, this is my ministry. This is the point. I'm not against all those people, but I want us to get some. At times, we think the power, the way of a powerful minister, he has got the Pastor Sorenso's ministry so powerful.
Mm.
Nobody has a ministry. The ministry is God. Rather, let me emphasize on the mission. The mission is God's.
Mm.
We are just agents of truth. You know, we just have to be partakers of this.
Mm.
Also, remember, you know, God could have done this by himself. Remember?
Yep.
He could have even sent angels to just evangelize, you know.
Mm.
But what does he do?
Mm.
He chooses you and I, feeble people, sinners, to go and reach out to other sinners. You know what somebody puts it?
Mm.
He says that evangelism or mission is like a beggar going to find another beggar and showing them where to get food.
Mm.
You know, actually going to show them the bin where there is food.
Mm.
You know, we're all beggars reaching out to other beggars. We're all sinners reaching out to other sinners.
Mm.
But what we have to know is that the owner of this mission is God, who has never failed. So we're not going to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
We can go to disciples. Yes, Pastor. We can go to making disciples.
All right. Making disciples. If we read Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20,
mm-hmm.
Matthew 28, we talk about the Great Commission.
Yes.
Remember, we're always talking about the Great Commission.
Mm.
But today, I want us to start at verse 16.
Okay.
It goes like, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them.
Mm.
And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. He has resurrected, but some are still doubting.
Mm.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, listen to this one.
Mm.
All power is given unto me in heaven and where, and on earth.
Mm.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.
Mm.
Amen.
Amen.
Right. There are certain elements that we want to touch there,
mm-hmm.
Elements on discipleship that we can identify there. Is it? Number one, before we go to that, these disciples, they have been with Jesus for 3.5 years.
Yes.
Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And he has died, he has resurrected.
Mm.
When he had resurrected, some still did not believe.
Mm.
But remember what he even says to Peter. He says, Peter, when thou art converted, strengthen your brethren.
Huh.
Okay. So now he's giving them the Great Commission. Okay.
Mm.
This Great Commission, we would like to start here. He's talking to people who were doubting. First, Jesus taught them faith, how
mm-hmm.
To have faith first. They had to trust him. They had to know that God is in control. He is able. He was the one who was dead. Now he is alive.
Mm-hmm.
Then he starts by telling them that all power.
Mm.
You know, the term that has been used, power, there in Greek, it's dunamis.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, dunamis. The one, the same term that we use when we talk of dynamite.
Yes.
That dynamite power. You know a dynamite in the mines
mm-hmm,
there?
Mm-hmm.
The dynamites we use, okay, to blow up, you know,
in small
to
packages.
Blow everything. Mm. Yes. So that's the power that Jesus was talking about. That's where the term comes from.
Mm.
He says all power, not limited power, not delegated power. Do you know what, Zah, today, isn't you on the radio now?
Mm.
What you have today, we'd call that delegated power.
Mm.
You are so powerful, you see? You can summon me, you can talk to me, isn't it? That's the power you have, isn't it?
Yes.
You can even tell me to stop talking now and I will stop.
Bona.
All right. You're so powerful behind that desk.
Mm.
But we call that delegated power. So
okay.
All the power that our pastors have in the offices at the general conference, wherever, it's called delegated power.
Okay.
But now Jesus says, all power is given unto me.
Mm.
The power that Jesus has is not delegated. It's not borrowed. You know, it's his. It comes from. He says all power has been given unto me from heaven.
Okay.
In heaven and on earth.
Mm.
Okay. Therefore, go. So what we need to understand is the one who is sending us, why am I emphasizing the point on power? The one who is sending us is very powerful. He's sending us to a group of people, rather to an audience, rather to a community that is demon-possessed, that is suffering, that is sick, that is dying. So he's saying, no, don't be afraid. All power has been given unto me. Go and make disciples. So our mandate is to make disciples. Do you know what a disciple is? Disciple also, the term discipline and the disciple come from the same root word.
So now,
if we're talking about a disciple has to be disciplined. All right.
Yes.
So if you are a disciple, you are one who is like the master. Remember when Peter was actually rejecting Christ? They said, no, even the way he talks is like the Galilean. You know, he's busy denying Christ. He was like him. He was a disciple. So what we have been called to do is to make Christians. A Christian is one who is like Christ.
Okay.
We have been called to make disciples, not just to baptize people. Okay? Hello?
Yeah.
He says make disciples, teach them. You baptize them, you know. Baptizing is not the end in itself.
Okay.
I'll follow you. Yes, we need to make disciples daily. We need to make people be like Jesus. Jesus commands his disciples to go to Galilee to be with him, number one, isn't it? In Galilee, he says, let's go and meet in Galilee, where everything started, isn't it? He says, let's meet there in Galilee. Number two, Jesus comes to them declaring his authority and sovereignty. Okay? Then he commissions them. So listen, my friend, the one who's sending us is very powerful. He's the one in control. Seated on his throne there, he's calling the shots. He's the one who's telling us what to do and how to do it. So we need to go out there and do what he has asked us to do and just follow. No questions asked. You know, when your commander sends you, you just go and do it just like that. So the main focus of the mission is to make disciples. We can talk about all of these other things that we can do. If we're not making disciples, we are just but playing.
Indeed. It's always very interesting. So, oh, sorry.
Hello?
Yes, Pastor.
Yes.
Yes, you may continue.
Okay. So our primary focus is to, at the Great Commission, is to make disciples. I just want to emphasize this. You know what? Do you know all these programs we do at church, whatever program we are doing, they shouldn't be an end in themselves.
Okay.
At the end of it all, we should make disciples. You know, we are good at making these programs just for us to enjoy. Isn't we can have a couple's dinner. In having a couple's dinner, how about that we invite your colleagues, your friends, your workmates that are non-Christian, we also invite them to join us. By so doing, what we are doing in actually spreading the word, we are actually in edifying ourselves, we are actually spreading the word to others.
True.
All right? So in everything we do, let us make disciples. Teaching everyone, baptizing them, and sharing Jesus to the whole world are the characteristics of the discipleship process. Okay? If you see yourself, you go to church every Sabbath, 365, 52 weeks, 25 days, and you are not bringing somebody to Jesus, we just have not started. We are not following the Great Commission. Okay.
Mfundis, are you saying that when we are doing the Great Commission, there are deliverables, we should be able to see that Zanele is a disciple, Pastor Amos is a disciple because of XYZ results, not by virtue of me going to church every Sabbath?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. There are certain things that we should do. When we have been called, we have been called to mission. Actually, we have been called to die, you know. This is not a party. were enlisted into an army. Is it? Yeah. Enlisted into an army. This is why this quota, this lesson for this past for these coming 3 months.
Mm.
The emphasis is we should stop talking and start doing.
All right.
The problem we are ever learning, we know what to do, but we are never practicing what we should do.
Mm.
So you know what you should do when guests come, but what do? During lunch, you just get into your car, you go, or you just call your friends, you have your lunch by yourselves, isn't it?
Mm.
So we are being told we need to start practicing. All I can say, our duty is just to do to act as disciples. The results will follow. We should not worry about so much. Yeah, we should have these people. No, let's just do our part.
Mm.
Because the one who's going to give us the results is God himself, the owner of the mission. The mission is to make disciples, always. Make people be like Jesus. You remember Paul, he says, I wish all men were like me, as I'm like who? As I'm like Jesus, you know? If we reach that level whereby we can ask people to be like us, as we are like who? As we are like Jesus. So we have been called to make disciples. Yeah, Jesus is clearly directing his disciples toward one purpose. Our purpose is to make disciples. Whatever we are doing today, let us make disciples. That's the part of the Great Commission. Okay.
Mfundis, we're going to end it there today. Friday, siyangena futhi. We are continuing with the lesson. I'm really loving it. I don't know why. You know, things happen on Monday and we couldn't start. But I'm really enjoying this lesson. You're taking us slowly. We're getting there. But yeah, today our time is finished. I know we have child, your younger brother's minutes is going to shout at me when he comes through. But for today, Pastor, we're gonna end it there. Thank you. And I'm loving how you actually explained the whole issue of the mission. If we do not have the mission, even us as radio broadcasters here as AWR, I always say to my people, now I remind myself that, guys, we have a mission. We're not just here just to talk, you know, to play music, but we have a mission. So I'm very thankful, my pastor, that you are able to once again remind us of that.
Okay, thank you so much. So next time, let's just look at the eternal gospel and God's people, the channels of mission. So we just finish it there. Let's meet up on Friday. Then we just share. Let's study the word and we start practicing and stop talking and start doing.
Yes.
May God richly bless us.
Amen and amen.
Okay.
You are tuned into Mid-Morning Empowerment here on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.